You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
It is an expectancy. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm expecting to be healed. Before I walk out the door, I'm expecting manifestation. Oh, glory to God. Somebody say now. Not next week, not next year. I ain't putting it off any longer. Oh, glory to God. I want it and I want it now. How many remember that commercial? Yeah. I want it and I'm, okay, well, open your mouth and say it. I want it and I want it now. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And so, daughter, begin to read at, I believe it's verse 15, and begin to read at 22. Read at 21. Read. 15 and 21.
Matthew 15, 21. It reads, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he, Jesus, answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he, Jesus, answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she, the woman, and worshipped him.
Look at that. That's pretty much saying she was cut off. That's pretty much saying it ain't your season yet. I gotta continue with my assignment. Come on. But the Bible says she worshipped, and it got her what? An extended dialogue with Jesus. It extended the conversation. Read.
She worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered Jesus and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. It isn't right. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as you requested.
I was talking with a customer. Oh, praise the Lord. And there are times, many times that I'm listening to people's conversation. Because a lot of times we're making excuses about healing. Sometimes I believe in the body of Christ, we make healing hard. I'm not an expert on healing. Let me put that out there. But I believe that my experience by being healed, by seeing my wife healed, by seeing my two boys up here from a barren woman, and some other things, I think it kind of gives me a little space to be able to, I won't say a little space, but it gives me space to be able to talk about healing. Oh, glory to God. There's nothing that we have to, look at your neighbor and say, stop making it hard.
Stop making it hard.
There was a woman that was customer, and she was just talking about, she was basically wondering, why haven't my healing taken place yet? And it sounded like she had been believing God for healing for a long period of time. And I remember even her having a statement of saying that, you know, I'm just waiting on God's timing. I mean, you've heard that before. I'm just waiting on God's timing. I'm just waiting on God. And so I began to talk with her, and I said, you know, we play a part in this. We can play a part in this. It's amazing because sometimes we're waiting on God, but then there are times when God is waiting, somebody say, on you. And I began to tell her, it don't have to be your season. Okay, all right. How many know your faith can open up a door for you and it don't even have to be your season? Yeah. It wasn't this woman's season, but her faith, her now faith, opened a door for her to be healed. There's folks that need to be healed that ought to be here right now. God wasn't going to stop his word from coming forth just because they didn't show up. Okay, all right, all right, all right, okay. This woman, daughter, got a healing, got delivered, or was made whole, because one of the things that Jesus said was, praise God, at the end, that she's made whole. But can I tell you something also that God dropped in my spirit? Because here she is, the mother, she's a picture of a church who's making intercession for a church that's not quite grown up yet. And saying, do it for them, God, because sometimes it takes the faith of others. I don't know if y'all getting this. It takes the faith of others. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God, to make intercession to bring about your healing. Are y'all getting this? Oh, glory to God. Y'all see that picture? Oh, glory to God. Yeah, daughter, write this message down. It's going in my book. We need to get this book out in a couple of months. Get this at the press. Oh, glory to God. Hezekiah. Hezekiah was supposed to die. The prophet came in and made a pronouncement. Get your house in order. You getting ready to die. Come on, somebody. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. But the man, the Bible says that he turned his face to the wall. Now, I want you to see this now. Okay. Oh, glory to God. I believe that it was really, he was trying to be a little private. He probably had doctors and things like this. He didn't turn to, once the pronunciation came, he didn't turn to man. He didn't turn to a doctor. Now, thank God for doctors. Come on. I'm just sharing you all what I share with my customers at times. He didn't turn to the doctors and say, hey, you know, what can you do with such and such? He knew that what was pronounced over his life was of God. But the Bible says that he turned his face to the wall. Who are you turning to? Come on. It's a good way of saying he turned to God. Because even though he turned his face to the wall, he started talking to who? God. Oh, glory to God. So he turned to God. A lot of times, come on, when we get a bad sentence, come on, we turn to everybody but God. I'm not saying that don't go to the doctor. Come on. I'm just saying that, hey, your first option ought to be who? God. Come on, somebody. Okay, all right. I'm going to preach this thing whether y'all get with me or not. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, bye, bye. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. All right. All right. Hebrews 11 says what? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hoped for. The word hope means expectancy. Okay. And write this down, number two. A lot of people don't get healed because they ain't expecting nothing. They ain't expecting to be healed. Come on. There's no expectation there. the woman that was had the issue of blood was at home. Come on, and she was declaring, she was making a decree. If I can only touch the hem of his garment, come on, she said something. Her expectancy was up. Now faith is the substance of things expected. Hope for. Hope means expected. Are you expecting anything? Did you make a pronouncement on the way to church? I'm going to be healed this morning. Today is my day. Oh, glory to God. Get bold enough to open your mouth and say something. Stop coming to church. Oh, glory to God. Just being common. Come to church as an expector. Come on. Come to church looking for something to happen. Oh, glory to God. I feel like running on this morning. Glory to God. Look at your neighbor and say, stop making healing hard.
Stop making healing hard.
Put that down. That's going to be the title of the book. Stop making healing hard. And I'm not going to say we got all the answers, but we got answers. They right here in they're in the Bible. We got answers. Ooh, glory to God. My trust should solely be in God. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes our expectation is in man. The man at the pool of Bethesda, John 5, 1 through 10. The man at the pool of Bethesda, his expectancy was in people. His faith was in people. He was looking for a person to put him into the pool. Come on. Sometimes we're looking for a man to lay hands on us. Come on. Can you reach up and grab what's in the atmosphere? Can you reach up and grab the healing? Oh, glory to God. The healing virtue. Hallelujah. Can you grab it? Oh, glory to God. Can your faith grab it without somebody laying hands on you? Oh, glory to God. If anything, you ought to be saying, touch me, Jesus. Lay hands on me. You lay hands on me. Because a lot of us have had enough hands laid on us. Oh, glory to God, that we ought to look like a hand. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing happened yet. So touch me, Jesus. You lay hands on me. Now, God may use a person to lay hands on you. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. But our expectancy should be solely in the Lord. Are y'all getting this? Everybody getting this? Oh, glory to God. I want you to trust in me. I don't want you to trust in me. I want you to trust in God. And even if I do lay hands on you, oh, glory to God, that you're going to be healed. The Bible does say call for the elders of the church. Come on. We see Jesus laying hands on people. And then we see Jesus not laying hands on people, just speaking the word. But then also we see people laying hands on Jesus. See? Okay. All right. We see people grabbing on Jesus, grabbing the hem of his garment. Come on, somebody. Reaching out. And everybody that touched the hem of touched his clothes was made whole. Come on. That's scripture. Are you trying to touch Jesus when you come to church on this morning? Y'all come here to get this message, this word, or what? Y'all was good. What y'all was wanting a Christmas message? I can stop right now and talk to you. Y'all want a Christmas message?
No, sir.
Okay, all right.
Forever.
Yes. Fully. Well, he was looking for a season. Sometimes we're looking for a healing down the road. I believe God's gonna heal me. But I'm going to have this operation, in 3 or 4 months, soon as my sugar get right, so that such and such. Okay, now you're looking for something down the road. You ain't looking for now. Your faith is not in the now. God is looking for some folks that got some now faith. Some folks that want to be healed now. Some folks that want it 6 minutes after. Some folks that want to be healed at 6 minutes after 12. Tell somebody, I want it now. I want it now. Say expectancy. Don't come to church without expecting nothing to happen. You know what? You know when you come to church not expecting nothing to happen, nothing ain't gonna happen?
Nothing happens.
Nothing happens. Come on. Oh, glory to God. They don't just limit it to church. We are people of limitations. Get up and expect. Come on, somebody. A door to open.
Yes.
money to be put in your hands. Come on. A promotion on your job. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Increase your expectancy. The Bible says that who was that? Abraham. Oh, glory to God. Hope. What did the Bible say? He hoped against hope. Thank you, Lord. My God. He increased his expectancy. Oh, glory to God. Start expecting something. Start expecting it so much to the point that you say it out your mouth. This woman, she was expecting to be healed so that she said it out of her mouth. Woo! Come on. See, because if y'all are really hearing me, you'd be saying something right now. I'm going to be made whole before the end of this service. Now, come on.
I am whole now. Now, 3 minutes after I was healed.
Come on.
Now,
do you want to be healed to give God the glory?
Amen.
Or to get up and to carry on with your life, because some people are very sick, and they pretty much are bound. Oh, glory to God. That was a man who had a condition of leprosy at the church, New Hope, that we were used to go to, but it wasn't a contagious type. And so he was still able to come out, go to church. Oh, glory to God. And I would be praying, and I was praying, God, why don't you heal this man? Why don't you heal this man? And then I saw him healed, but then I saw him healed and going back out into the world. Because sometimes some people don't want, you know, and this is number three. Some people don't want to be healed because they want God. They want to be healed because they can carry on their life. Okay, all right. They can. And so is it to give God the glory? Come on, these are just things that, because really I want you to look at yourself, because we always blaming God. Come on, somebody. We always blaming God. Well, you know, when I was listening to the person make this statement, you know, I was like, really, you know, I thought about it and say, really, they're questioning God. They're questioning God. But then when I began to put these questions back on them, then, you know, they were like, okay, all right, I won't even go off into that. All right. So, number five, I think we're on number five. Somebody say, stir it up.
Stir it up.
Glory to God. Stir it up. Do you know that when the Spirit of God came on the inside of you, how many of you going through the sinner's prayer and saying, Lord, I repent of my sins and I invite you into my life to be my Lord and Savior? Oh, glory to God. And you believe by faith that he came in. Now, do you know that when the Spirit of God came in, he didn't come in empty-handed? He came in packing. Because our problem is that we're always looking outside of ourselves instead of looking to the God that's on the inside of us. Paul tell Timothy to stir up what was in him? Stir up what was in him? Because I'm not trying to get to this next part, but sometimes we are lazy. There's scriptures in the Bible about healing, but then we'll quote that one little scripture, and we won't even quote all of that. By his stripes, I'm healed. Baby, it's more to that scripture than just by his stripes, I'm healed. Come on. Well, what else? Tell me what else does it say? And so guess what? There are times that, you know, I love the book of Mark. There are times I tell folks, I say, man, when I'm not feeling well, I'll go and get the book of Mark, because it starts off, I think chapter 1 through 5, just starts off talking about healings and deliverance and this, that, and this, you know. And so guess what? I'll read that. Why? Because I'm stirring up my faith, and then guess what? I'll lay hands on myself. I ain't looking for nobody to lay hands on me. Oh, glory to God. But I'm laying hands on myself because I'm looking to the God that's on the inside of me. When was the last time you laid hands on your big head? Come on. Lay hands on yourself right now and say, I'm whole in Jesus' name. Nothing missing. Nothing lacking. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes we're waiting for somebody to pronounce stuff over us. Pronounce it over yourself. Oh, glory to God. Didn't he say you shall receive power? Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't worry about it, daughter. I'm going to send you the notes. We need to put this on a book. We need to put this on some pages. Oh, glory to God. Because I sometimes you just, I think sometimes we're making excuses. We're making healing hard. Sometimes we just got to line up with the word, but we won't be perfect. Tell somebody we won't be perfect. And I'm going to get to that later. And can I tell you, I wanted to talk about being lazy. I mean, earlier that woman with the issue of blood, even though she heard that Christ was in the neighborhood somewhere, she could have continued to sit at home. But faith without works is what? Dead. That's something, you know, sometimes we can tell your faith by what you're doing. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Can I tell you something? There's a many times I've gotten up and preached and wasn't feeling well. And then when I got up to preach, all of a sudden that thing that was on me lifted up off of me.
Yep.
Oh, glory to God. Because I knew that, guess what? You give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. I love the fact that my daughter back there pressed her way to church. Come on. Oh, glory to God. I believe she got it already. Hallelujah. You know, it's amazing because we live in a day and age where sick people stay home. No, sick people are supposed to come to church to get healed. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory. Who was that? Deacon Williams, right? At New Hope. Deacon Williams had a stroke. Man, Deacon Williams, I'm not staying home. They brought him, his paralyzed self, the church. My God, and God healed him on the back bench back there. They used to lay him across the back bench. I want to go to church. Come on, somebody. I want to get in the atmosphere. Come on. And God healed him. God honored his faith. Okay, all right. And then you have some people, it's like they ain't coming to, you know, and then it's like, okay, all right, I'm going to be good. I'm going to behave myself. All right. That woman with issues got up. She got up. She wasn't even supposed to get up. Come on. Her illness, come on. She was supposed to stay in bed. Oh, glory to God. She wasn't even, not in bed, but in the house. She wasn't even supposed to be touching anybody. But she was so determined to get her healing. Come on. Ah, when your faith come alive, you do crazy stuff. My God. You take, okay, all right. Number six. I've come to find out that there are sometimes that God gives instructions. Been around long enough to see that God gives instructions. That sometimes God will give you instructions even about your diet. Come on. Okay. All right. Let's say that again. Sometimes God, you know, let me say this. I remember Dr. Price. Dr. Price's wife was fighting cancer. And I think he testified that she had been fighting cancer for about 5 years. And he finally prayed. He said, God, why don't you heal my wife? And God told him, he says, your wife don't drink water. And if I heal her, she's going to turn around and be back in the same condition. Come on. Because she didn't drink water. Come on. And so there are some times that God give us instructions. Somebody say, stop making healing hard. See, because sometimes when people are standing before you and they're saying, you know, I don't know why and when is it going and how long, God, come on. Some of us already know. Some of us already know God has given us instructions. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Even if he give you instructions through the doctor. Come on. Because sometimes God want to see some things change. Oh, glory to God. Because we're headed down the wrong road. Somebody say, stop making healing hard. It was Naaman. Okay, let me show you a biblical example. I was definitely dropping these here, dropping this scripture like it was hot. Every time she says something, I come back with some word. But here's Naaman. Naaman went to the prophet to be healed. And the prophet said, go and dip in the water. Gave him some instructions. Go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. He had a problem with that. Come on. He said, why you sending me to the Jordan River, this nasty river? The rivers of Pharpar and back home, they're clean. You sending me to this dirty, nasty. He had a problem with it. Come on. Oh, glory to God. His pride got in the way because pride won't let you follow instructions. Okay. All right. So guess what? He said, I ain't going there. And he was on his way back home. And the Bible says a servant came up to him and whispered in his ear and said, if he would have asked you to do something hard, wouldn't you have done it? You would have done it. In other words, if he would have said to you, go, because he was a warrior, a conqueror, many victories, and if he would have said to you, go and conquer 10 villages and bring me back all the loot for your healing, you would have done it. That's basically what he was saying. You would have, some of us would rather walk outside, run around the block 10 times, come on, about to fall out and faint, come on, oh glory to God, than to do something simple. Oh glory to God. And there are sometimes when you look and you say, man, that our healing, our blessings is right in simplicity of instructions. Come on. Sometimes they sound like crazy instructions, but sometimes they are crazy instructions. You know, go and dip 7 times, you know, and then you show up, you say, okay, all right, you show up, and it's 100 people out there, you know, and then it's like, oh, man, they're going to be looking at me and such, because the devil's going to try to talk you out of what God told you to do. And so you're sitting there saying, man, they're going to be looking at me, and you're just trying to play it off, you know, trying to act like you're taking a bath or something. 1, 2, you know, you're trying to act like you're taking it instead of dipping. Some of y'all laugh because you know that'll be you out there. Trying to, instead of just dipping, go glory to God, because sometimes when you want it, come on, you just got to go ahead and.
Welcome to Breakpoint, daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth, the Colson Center, Johnstone Street. A feature of life today is just how quickly culture changes. That can leave many Christians, even those with a strong personal faith, struggling to make the connection between what is true, real, and good, and all the issues that seem to barrage us all the time. What Christians need is a strong public faith, one that provides clarity and meaning. The Colson Center equips Christians to see that though Christian faith is certainly personal, it is not private. The implications of the Christian faith, built on Christ and committed to what is true, shapes our public witness, makes us able to think critically about culture, drawing from the entire story of Scripture, and also able to communicate wisely with others. In short, what we want to see is every Christian able to live like one in this time and in this place where God has called us. Now, to be clear, we do not think of ourselves as being on the so-called front lines. Rather, every follower of Christ is on the front lines whenever they take their faith into every walk of life as salt and light in a world that desperately needs the redemptive power of the gospel. For example, Abby Foltz, a cardiac nurse from Colorado Springs, Colorado, she's on the front lines. In addition to igniting her passion for caring for people in moments of crisis, diving deeper into the Christian story of reality has helped Abby make sense of the big why questions that are raised in the practice of medicine. Here's Abby, quote, what's the point of all this? What's the meaning? Those end-of-life conversations we're having with patients and different coworkers that I have, starting to talk about worldview, what people think about what happens when we die, all of these kinds of questions matter. I feel like that's what I glean most from the Colson Center, how to speak strongly with truth, but also compassion. Because people aren't ready to hear the truth right unless you've loved them well first, shown them compassion, shown them that you're on their side and not just trying to win an argument, end quote. Well, Abby's also an expectant mother, and the daily Breakpoint commentaries have helped her to recognize the importance of not shying away from the difficult conversations with her kids, but instead equipping them with a worldview big enough for life's questions. Another example of someone on the front lines, Bob Dyer, Dean of Students at Trinity Christian Academy in Addison, Texas. He knows firsthand that parents and educators must be able to offer meaningful answers to kids' tough questions. Here's Bob, quote, there's an expectation when parents send their student, their child to Trinity Christian, that they're going to be sitting before mature Christian adults who can articulate faith and articulate why it's important, not just be Christian in the classroom or to be Christians who happen to teach a particular discipline, but that they're able to articulate how a biblical worldview fits into math, science, and history. I'm getting excited about this, he continues. I would surely want younger people to know. I want parents to know. Parents who are shepherding their own kids. And I want the guys who are my age, because we're not called at 70 to just retire, sit back, and wait. I don't think God has that for me. And that's why I'm so excited about it. I really am. Well, as both a break.